Well, let's turn to our passage this morning in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, fairly well-known chapter, and verses 8 to 10. And there we see the beginning of the chapter, going back to verse 1 and 2, before we come to verse 8 and 10, we see publicans and sinners drawing near our Saviour. Now, that's quite a thought, isn't it? Quite a picture. Our Saviour and these publicans and sinners just been drawn to Him, attracted to Him and going to Him. But then we also see in those first few verses the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, complaining about the sinners associating with Christ. There in verse 2, this man receiveth sinners. Well, we can say, praise the Lord, can't we? Hallelujah. But they were complaining, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Because we are sinners and our Saviour welcomes us. That's a great grace. But our Saviour, seeing the discontent, speaks in three parables, not just once, not twice, but three times. He speaks three times a message to the Pharisees, saying how they should be towards sinners, their attitude towards sinners. Now, ironically, the Pharisees were themselves unsaved and sinners. But worse than that, they were sinners who would not draw near Christ. These poor sinners were drawing near Christ. And they were in a far worse position than these sinners. But it's more here than just a lesson on our attitude towards sinners. There is the gospel here, of course. We see the gospel in all the parables, the three parables of the lost sheep and the lost son and the lost coin. And the lost coin is our interest here, verses 8 to 10 this morning. I want to make some gospel points as we work our way through this very short parable. Let me read the parable to you, verse 8 to 10. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so this woman had 10 silver coins, and she loses one of the coins. This coin, a silver coin, is what they call a drachma, the currency used at that time, but here mentioned as a silver coin. And it is a description of man and the soul of man, and quite a lovely description, really. The silver of his soul, the precious soul of man. You have a silver coin, you could say, within you, and that is your precious soul. So you think of this coin, there would be an image of some kind, some head on that coin. And of course, the image in which we are created is God. But like many coins, the image becomes faded. And such is our case because of the fall of man and the sin of man. Although we are created in the image of God, it's a very faded image. You can hardly see it. It is there, but it is faded. A silver coin with a faded image. It's a picture of man, isn't it? And man in his present state today. And then think of the drachma. It wasn't worth that much, but worth something, certainly. To this poor woman, it was worth a lot. She had 10 coins and lost one. She had 9 still, but this one coin was valuable to her. And to us, we might be poor and needy, and we are that. But our souls are most precious to us. And to lose our souls would be a tremendous, unthinkable loss. And remarkably, our souls are precious to the Lord through grace. Indeed, you might say they are more precious to God than to us, it would seem, because we don't care for our souls so often. But our God cares for the souls of men. He thinketh upon you. And think in Scripture, and here in these parables, of the value of the one soul. Here, three times, we have emphasis on the one. First of all, the one in the 100 with the lost sheep. Then one in 10 with lost coin. And then one in 2 with a lost son. This importance of the one. And important to you because it is your soul, your silver coin, your precious soul. And even important to the Lord. But what about being lost? It's not a nice feeling. Or being lost or losing something, is it? It's an unsettling feeling, an annoying feeling when you've lost something. Well, recently I purchased a contraption to hold my mobile phone. And before I could use it, there was a nut and bolt part, and I lost the nut within a day. You know, I know it's a small thing, but it so upset me. I was so annoyed. I looked and looked in 3 or 4 locations. I retraced my steps. I thought the day through and tried to retrace my steps. It was either in the bag or in the house or in the car or where I parked the car, so I thought. So I looked for days and days. But this I say, and I'll carry on the story in a minute. But this I say now, it was so frustrating. It was eating away at me. That was only a very small thing, really. But think, and really out of proportion, but in proportion, is the thought of the loss of our soul. It is a very serious matter to lose one's soul. You have one body. Your body is important. Your soul is very important. And you care for your body and probably don't care for your soul. But you should care for your soul because it is the silver coin. It is most precious. It is you. It is really you who you are. Well, coins, when they fall, can fall and roll a long way, can't they? Even if you know it's fallen, often it can go to somewhere you can't find because they roll a long way. But if you don't know, well, really, then it is so difficult to find something which has fallen. It's like a needle in a haystack, as they say. And it's quite a picture of what happens to man when you think about it. We have fallen in sin back in Eden with Adam. And we ourselves have fallen with Adam. We've fallen into the dirt of this world because probably the floor of this woman would have been a dirt floor. And there's a good picture there of this world. We've fallen into the dirt of this world. And maybe also, through our sins, rolled a long way in those sins. Like in the other parable of the prodigal who went to the far country. And we too can roll a long way. Our sins can take us a long, long way from God and into the depths of sins, even into crevices, we could say. So we think of this coin coming to rest, maybe covered in the dirt, perhaps, possibly under furniture, or settling in some crack or small crevice. They do, don't they, these things? Quite remarkable how they roll and find a place and down they go into some hole. And so true for our souls. We fall into the dirt, and there we are, out of sight. You know, there's something about a man when he goes into the world, something quite hopeless about it. It's like a great forest and going into a forest, and what hope is there of finding him? Lost and out of sight. And that sense here also, as the coin falls into the dirt, where could it be? And also the thought of some crevice or crack, such it is with sin, my dear friend. It is. Sins are incredibly dangerous, and you fall into them, and they hold you. You're out of sight, even, and they hold you fast. comes to my mind because I've been reading a lot recently about mountains. Quite ironic, really. I don't climb mountains, but I'm reading about climbing mountains for Everest and K2 and what have you. And with Everest, there is a part you've got to go through first before you get to the mountain proper. They are the Khumbu ice falls. And there they are, broken up pieces of glacier and incredibly dangerous. And there are enormous crevasses. And if you fall into those, I'm not sure if there's any account of anybody being saved out of a crevasse in Everest. It will be the end of you. And watch you, my friend, with sins of this world. If you fall into a crevasse, they are very treacherous. If you fall into them, they will probably be the end of you. So treacherous and dangerous and deep they are. And so we have to be very serious about this. This world in which we live is a world like a dirt floor and a world of cracks and crevices, even crevasses, we could say, where we might fall into, out of sight, out of mind, and desperate. And there you are, in this vast hole, there to die in your sins. What a thought it is. But it's a very real thought, isn't it? Of how this world is and your soul. Your precious soul. The silver coin there in the depths, in the dirt of this world. But then we see the woman lit a candle and she begins her search. And we might do the same in our day, not with candles so much, but with torches and even with our phones. To throw light makes such a difference, doesn't it? When you throw light into the darkness. And it's a picture, of course, of the Word of God to begin with. The Word of God preached is a lamp and a light. On this pulpit here, I have these words from Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, it says there, and a light unto my path, it says there. So it is. The Word of God is a light. I trust you're experiencing that light this morning. It's a light which exposes our location and position in the world. It shows us where we are in this world of dirt, you could say. But also the light not only exposes our location, but is lovely in and of itself. Imagine this woman with a candle and the brightness of the candle. Lovely picture of the Word of God and the gospel. It is a beautiful gospel in and of itself. And Christ is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. What a light he is. It's a picture, of course, the candle, a small light. But Christ is the light of the world. And he not only exposes our position in the world, he takes away the sin of the world. He takes away the sin of the world. Yes, he shows light upon us and sheds light upon us. But also, with that dirt which covers us, he takes away that dirt. And takes away the sins of the world. How does he do that? Such an important matter, isn't it? It's truth that he shows us our sins. But what does he do with our sins? To condemn us? Well, yes, we are condemned already. But rather to save us from our sins. And on the cross of Calvary, there, he took away the sins of men. That's why he came. Do you wonder why he came? He came. Born, live, to die. To die as the Lamb of God. The unspotted Lamb, without blemish. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The Savior, Jesus Christ, this miserable and dark world, has a Savior, my friend, and his name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And he brings favor of God as well. Not only does he take away our sins. He brings us back to God. It is all light. All light. All goodness. When the light of Christ comes, my friend, it's good news. Or it might be uncomfortable to begin with, as you feel your sin. But it's good. Because those sins will be taken to him. And he shall take them away. And take the judgment of God in your place. By dying upon the cross. And there he suffers in your place and for you, so that you might be saved from that suffering and from your sins, is all light. And then to know God, of course. Truly, truly, he was the light of the world. He is this candle in this parable. He is that light, Jesus Christ. But going back to the woman we note sweeps the house from top to bottom, it would seem. What an effort she must have gone through in this story we have. There, all the dirt floor and all the dust, and sweeping away all the dust to try and find this silver coin. And we are told she searched diligently, carefully, methodically, I would suggest, thoroughly. Every corner was searched, and with a sharp eye as well. Because as she was searching, she could have searched and brushed over it and missed it. But with a sharp eye, looking out for the silver. And certainly we can say also, this searching, this diligent searching shows. It shows it was on her mind, this silver coin. Like with me as well, with my little piece missing from the contraption I had bought. It was on my mind. I searched all occasions, more than once. I even went out in the pouring rain, searched the pools, the leaves. It was pretty messy out there where I'd parked the car. And with a light, with my phone, there I was. My car wasn't there now, it was some other car there. I must have looked quite suspicious. And there I was searching for this small little black piece. Well, much more than that. Our Lord searches for our souls. That's something quite different. And it speaks of the Lord caring for us and us being on his mind, if I can speak in such a way. It's a biblical thought. It says in the Psalms, "But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me." Isn't that a grace? When you don't care for yourself, the Lord thinketh upon you and is after you. And he's going to show you your sins and draw you to himself. And he searches. Although we know the Lord knows all things, yet it's a very biblical concept of God searching, like we have with the lost sheep, and here with the lost coin. The Lord searching and searching, trying to find you in the depths of the world. Where are you? Where are you? And looking for you. It's a picture, of course, but he knows all things, and yet it's a truth. He searches you out. That is very true. And looks for you in the world. And then we see the woman finds the coin. She searches and searches. Then suddenly, there it is. It's a happy moment, isn't it? And she picks it up, no doubt, and secures it. This coin, which was lost and not hers anymore, now is hers again, because she has it in her hand. And likewise with me too, if I can finish the story of my missing piece, that I went one more time, it was my last time, one more time to where I parked the car. And there I went, knelt down, looked under the car, couldn't see anything. And on my final turn, just by the curb, all the leaves were, and it's all very sodden and messy, I saw something black. And there it was. I found it. And how happy I was to find that piece. Not with this piece of my contraption, but with other things. Something perhaps more precious. You know, when we lose something, we often pray, don't we? Christians pray to the Lord. And you find quite remarkably, although it's so unimportant, the Lord shows you how you can answer prayer. And there might be a providence, something not important to anybody else, but to you. And you're so upset about it. And he allows you to find it. And you know it was him, even with that small, small thing, whatever it might be. Well, here, most certainly, there's a sense of providence. When God's eye settles upon you, there's a real sense of timing and everything coming together. It is God's time. And my friend, he reaches down and he takes you out of the world And now you are his. Before you were lost, now you are found. You were truly lost, and now you are truly found in the hand of God, no less. And he takes off the dirt in Christ and cleans us in Christ, doesn't he? So that he might indeed cherish us as a saved soul, a washed soul, and a dressed soul. And this woman, going back to the parable, rejoices over the coin. Let's think of this rejoicing as we come to the end of the parable. She rejoices. What does she do? She calls her friends and her neighbors and tells them to rejoice with her. She's so glad to find this silver coin, like I was too. I actually went into the house singing. I was singing to let others know that I found this piece. And I sent a picture to Mary and the family as well. I found this piece I was looking for. Well, how much more for the souls of men and women. There is rejoicing all around. Certainly you rejoice. The church rejoices. But then there's a higher rejoicing as well. Now, it seems to say in the verse that the angels rejoice. And I'm sure they do. But I don't think that's what the verse is saying. It's saying there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Just look at the words with me. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God. In the presence of. Who is in the presence of the angels of God but God himself? My dear friend, this says that God is rejoicing. It's a remarkable picture. And then we have in the last parable, the parable of the lost son, a picture of God the Father rejoicing. What a picture. What mercy, what remarkable condescension. The grace of God towards us in saving us and even rejoicing over us. It's quite remarkable to think that God searches for us and then rejoices when he finds us. And what a heart he has for sinners. What a great heart our God has when you think about it. Because it says in the parable, he rejoices over one sinner. One sinner. Every time one sinner is saved, he rejoices. And that, my dear friend, if you're a Christian this morning, was the case for you. And it's quite a thought, isn't it? As you were saved, the Lord God rejoiced over you. That's the magnitude of your salvation. That's the true view of what's happened to you, because God sees things rightly. He knows that deep crevasse that you were in. He knows how lost you were, and he knows how found you now are. And so there's rejoicing in the Godhead over every sinner who repents and who believes in Jesus Christ, because you were lost and truly lost. Now you are found and truly found. I can only pour into those phrases the best I can, the meaning. You were lost, my friend. Lost to God, lost to blessing, lost to heaven. You were truly lost. But now you're found. Found by God. And found in heaven. And found in Christ. And that is a really wonderful finding. To be found by God. Are you found by God? Well, there you are this morning. Even though in church, you're lying in the dust and the dirt of the world. Trust the word of God and Christ himself as the light of the world might shed and throw his light upon you. That even now, you're feeling your sin. The mention of sin and the crevasses and the dirt of the world maybe got your heart. What is that, my friend? It is the light. But I also pray that the Lord, with his sovereign eye, will look at you. And there, as the light exposes you and exposes your location of where you truly are, the eye of God is upon you. My friend, it's an eye of grace. It's an eye of the gospel and of Jesus Christ. And as you repent of your sin and believe in Jesus Christ, he reaches down and picks you up and secures you. And you are in his hand. Like in the children's story of the pocket with a button or a zip. You are kept. You are placed in that pocket. And the pocket is secured in Jesus Christ. He He will take you up. There's no better place. Oh, the blessed hand of God, the blessed eye of God. I trust even now his hand is reaching towards you, and you are repenting and you are believing. Think of the woman here with a candle. Think of her there seeing the silver coin. Think of her reaching down and picking it up and rejoicing. May that be a picture of you, that our God and our Savior Jesus Christ has found you this morning and has secured you. And you've believed in him. And we shall all rejoice over you. But especially our God will rejoice over you, because he knows more than any, and our Savior, what has happened. You are lost and now have been found. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we do pray indeed that those who are truly lost might be truly found, and they might indeed respond to the light of the candle with repentance of sins and belief in Jesus Christ. And now, O Lord, that they indeed might look to Christ, and as they do, our blessed Saviour will secure that soul. And there, O Lord, to be truly kept, the Lord is thy keeper. Amen.